Moving Iron Podcast is proud to be part of the Global Ag Network. The network is live, so check out globalagnetwork.com for more details and updates. Now on to the show.
Moving Iron in the 21st century. Hardworking people working hard for you and me. Moving Iron time and time again.
Good morning and welcome to the Moving Iron Podcast Market Rundown with Angie Setzer. Angie, how are you doing this morning?
Good, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. There's a little bit of stuff going on here. Not like there's a lack of stuff going on, but there is a fair amount of stuff going on out there right now. When you start looking at weather and this record short that we've got everywhere across all the hedge funds and everybody else has really played a phenomenal number on the markets here. You know, I think corn's down almost 30 cents in 2.5 weeks or 3 weeks or whatever it is. So it's like a pretty quick dive. So talk about what you see happening there on the short position side, and then talk about what you see happening with the market and some of these rains we're talking about. There's supposed to be a lot of rain this next couple of
weeks. Yeah, it's definitely, it's getting concerning, I guess you could say. And so my friend Karen and I, Karen Corrigan, have been joking back and forth all week about, going when it fits or going when you can get it done. I was still, I'm not an agronomist, but I do know that the market saw it, to where there was a planting window that took place in a lot of areas this week. Specifically the Western Corn Belt, you saw a lot on Twitter. There was some ongoing jokes about, 2-3 weeks ago, we weren't going to plant anything in Nebraska ever again, and then now you are seeing, Nebraska planters rolling and this, that, and the other thing. And, just some kind of ribbing of one another that was interesting to see, but it did have an influence. I we can't say that social media has zero influence on what traders are thinking or which direction they're heading. You start to see it in the market analysis stuff that we get at the end of the day. Social media is full of pictures of everyone planting, and it kind of goes back down to that whole fear of missing out, or the idea that, if you see 10 guys planting on Twitter, then obviously everyone is. And that wasn't the case this week. We didn't have any wheels turn in Michigan. I'm pretty positive that most anyone in throughout, a significant area of Illinois, a good portion of Indiana and Ohio, didn't turn a wheel. Your northern Corn Belt areas, your northern plains also didn't. But so we will see some planting pace on Monday, but the real thing that we're watching now is okay, that window is pretty well shut here for now until we get a new one, at least if the forecast holds steady. So right now the forecast for the 6 to 10, 8 to 14 day window is that we're going to see much of those normal precipitation with below normal temperatures in the northern belt, and maybe some above normal temperatures, but those have been pushed back instead of, bulk of the southern corn belt. Iowa was split in half for quite some time this week with above normal temperatures to the south and below normal to the north. Now we're seeing that above normal temperature window kind of shift to the southeast. So the question really is, what are we looking at there, when it comes to progress? And most meteorologists and farmers are in agreement that probably not much. There's some heavy snow in the northern plains. We here in the Lansing area are looking at probably the fourth time that we will see over 3 inches of snow on record. So that doesn't happen a lot where you get this 3-4 inches of snowfall. Obviously, it's going to melt. I mean, that's not the issue at stake, but it's not going to do well for wheat. Wheat's already struggling. The last thing it needs is 31-degree lows and poor warmth and things like that. So I'm not saying that the lows will kill it, but they're definitely not going to help it. And I know last year for us, here in Michigan, we had a really steady week of planting pace take place right ahead of a really cold, heavy rain.
Okay.
And every single person, pretty much, if not every single, the bulk of anyone that had corn planted ahead of this really cold, heavy rain, had to replant. It did not work for it. And so that'll be something else we're watching. Just because we see this planting pace come off on Monday, maybe at a higher level, you know, some of these areas that are going to be dealing with this really cold, heavy rain that they're forecasting for the weekend, you know, may really struggle with what the you know, sand and all that noise looks like when we look at it here in another couple, 3 weeks. So I think weather's going to start to help everything, but we've got to see, you know, what the shorts decide to do. Do they carry that short position into month end? Tuesday is the end of the month. We're in a roll period, delivery period. Being a short is not the bad place to be going into delivery. You know, you don't have to really worry too much about that. You just have to roll on your carry if you have a short position on. So, you know, we're not really sure what the funds are going to do, but eventually there's going to be some sort of catalyst to kind of flip that position. And at this point, it looks like weather might be the one, at least when it comes to corn.
Yeah, there is the short position they're in, and there's nothing out there that's saying they should get out of that short position. And every report that comes out just says, "Great, guys are doing great. Keep it up. Don't get out because you're doing the exactly right thing." So that when these reports come out, USDA is not doing any favors to anybody. I mean, they're just—I mean, granted, they're reporting stuff and they're not like on the side of anyone, but it's one of those things where we could sure use a positive report someplace down the road.
Yeah, we could. But the million-dollar question right now that I have, anyway, is that the cash movement, the pipeline and all of that, tends to reconcile true supply and demand. So if you look at some of the conversations that we've had this week on Twitter with some of the folks out west, Iowa and Nebraska specifically, there's a Nebraska buyer for an ethanol plant that is saying that this is the slowest pace they've seen on record for farmer sales. They're just not moving. I know a certain co-op in North Central Iowa, I will say, has handled about 10% of a year ago's handling. And a friend of mine that is a broker that oversees a lot of elevators, commercials, things of that nature, says right now that farmer selling is about 47% of last year and 54% of the 2-year average. So what does that, you know, what does that mean? And so the kind of conversation or the indication on Twitter is, well, the farmer's screwed, or the farmer has generated this much income that he or she is able to survive. They, you know, went out and got loans and the MSP payment enough, and they sold $10 beans. But in the next breath, they talk about how the farmer didn't sell $10 beans.
Right.
And so we go back and forth, and, you know, to me, I'm beginning to wonder, and this, I'm not stating it as fact. It is something that's in the back of my mind right now. Could the USDA be overestimating what the farmer has on hand? Could the USDA be overestimating what the commercial has on hand? But a lot of people are saying it's logistical hiccups that are causing the inability to move. Folks in South Dakota, you know, their roads are shot right now. It's springtime, you know, blah, blah, blah. Heavy rain, things like that. You know, maybe that's the case. But where I come from, if the farmer is not selling, you're seeing push take place to commercials. So if the ethanol plant needs to buy grain, they're buying grain from the elevator. And at this point, you would say, okay, the commercial long is indicating that the elevators are selling, but the basis is not indicating that the elevators are selling. So there's some really, I mean, it's interesting, and I had someone come on and say, well, according to the USDA, I'm like, oh, really? No crap. I mean, we did see the USDA number, we saw the trade result afterwards. The USDA has been wrong. I'm not saying that that's the case right now, but I always point to farmers that cash reconciles actual supply and demand, and right now the cash is saying that the grain's not moving like it should. Now, why is that? Is there less there? Is it the farmer is more flush with cash to be tapping into his equity? Blah, blah, blah. I don't know. But we'll see. We'll learn more about what's taking place here over the next couple, 3 months, especially if we get a pop in the futures and really definitely see the, you know, that farmer movement start to go. But it's an interesting thing that's kind of forming and will have implications on what takes place when the speculators do exit their position. So that's the problem right now that they're talking about is if the speculators exit, then the commercials will be selling and your net result is still kind of you move the pendulum maybe up, but it's not as exciting or whatever as some folks are anticipating. But we'll know in 3 months. So I guess stay tuned.
Well, one thing about the funds, I mean, they've been short for a really long time. They've been in a short position for a very, very long time. And right now, if you look at, you start figuring basis and what it costs to truck everything and stuff like that, you're not too far away from just straight up $3 corn. I mean, it's that's the other way. You know, you're really close to that. And I'm not saying that it couldn't go lower, but it can't go much lower, right? So sooner or later, they're going to have to start figuring that. It's just going to happen. So they're going to have to exit short positions, not necessarily because of rally, but because they may have hit the bottom. And then you're bottomed out. Now they got to figure out how they're going to go back up. So
Well, eventually what looks like a good sell signal turns into a buy signal, right? I mean, eventually someone's going to step in with enough money to say, why are we doing this? You know, and so it's also really interesting to see China is up big on their corn imports.
Yeah.
If you go back into your Wayback Machine, China just found 6 billion bushels November 1st. Right. So, you know, they're big, up big on imports, but they just had 6 billion bushels. 6 billion, and that's just carry out. So there's a lot of things that are taking place in this market structure right now that, and you see it, I always tell my growers that you will always see every single bearish headline that can be put in place released when the market's at its low. Everyone will reinforce these bearish ideas. That's what we're hearing right now with wheat. Well, the hard-red wheat crop is going to be 850 million bushels. It's just going to be this giant crop. And the Russian crop is going to be 84 million metric ton. And, you know, you have all these people that come out, and when you're in a bearish market structure, even superfluous ideas of production are embraced. Like, well, it's reality, right? Who cares if it's only April and acreage is down significantly and all of these things? Conditions indicate that hard red wheat should be ginormous, and this Russian trader says that their crop's going to be even bigger, and blah, blah, blah. And so everyone ignores the people that are actually in Russia saying 80 million, maybe 77, probably more like it. I just saw a friend of mine say the Russian crop's not going to be any bigger than 17. So, I mean, is it going to be large? Probably, but that crop's made in May and June out there. They're very similar to the Michigan harvest structure. And soft red wheat here in Michigan being torn up every day. Well, it would be torn up if they could get into it. More likely, it's just being, you know, round up, and then we're waiting to see if we can get in and just get under kind of deal. So there's a lot of things that I'm starting to see, and that's typically what tends to happen is a shift in trade direction starts with whispers. I always think, when you start boiling a pot of water, you just get the little tiny bubbles on the bottom, and then it gets into a full boil.
Yep.
We're at little tiny bubble mode.
Yeah.
So it's not boiling. You're not going to pour your macaroni in at this point in time. You're going to continue to hear about why you shouldn't pour your macaroni in. Eventually it will be, but now is the time to really kind of focus on where you would want to sell, you know, and kind of recognize that a 10% return or 10% gain back tends to be a good number to be aware of and be aggressive on. And, you know, so that put us into that 380 front month, 390 on the front month sort of core number, and put us up into that 4.405, 4.10. I'm not saying that's the high, but I'm saying you should be selling numbers at that level, and we'll have those opportunities. I feel pretty confident in seeing that, you know, here over the next 4 to 5 weeks.
Well, lots of stuff going on, Angie, so plenty of reasons to pay attention to the markets and know when to jump and when to stay. So if folks wanted to pick your brain a little bit or get some advice on what they should be doing, how would they do that, Angie?
You can find me on Twitter at GodsofGrain, or you can email me at ainceptor@citizenselevator.com.
Right on. All right. Well, have a good day, and we'll talk to you again next week.
You too. Have a good one.
Thanks for listening to this edition of the Moving Iron Podcast, now part of the Global Ag Network. If you'd like to continue any of these conversations, you can hit me up on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram at Moving Iron LLC. You can also send me an email at Moving Iron Podcast at MovingIronPodcast.com. You can also visit the Moving Iron Podcast YouTube channel and watch Market Roundup with Chip Mellinger, Sean Hackett, and Angie Setzer. Also, Tax News with Glenn Birnbaum. please visit movingironllc.com. Here you can find information, details, and updates for the 2019 Moving Iron Summit in Nashville, Tennessee. If you'd like to support the podcast, you can leave a review and subscribe at iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher Radio, TuneIn Radio, SoundCloud, and globalagnetwork.com. So until next time, let's go move some iron. This is Casey Seymour. Out.
Moving iron in the 21st century.